God wrote that book to you. It's got your name on it. It is God speaking to you. Say it. The Bible is God, who is love, speaking to me, telling me how much He loves me.
Jesus said, "Your heavenly Father loves you just as much as He loves Jesus." If that seems hard to believe, then stay tuned as Kenneth Copeland teaches how to renew your mind to receive that amazing, life-changing truth. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
John 17. And I want you to look at the 23rd verse. Jesus Himself is praying right before He went to the cross. Read the 20th verse. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now, either directly or indirectly, everybody in this room, everybody online, everybody that's born again came to Jesus either directly or indirectly through the people that were sitting in that room. Amen. So He was praying this for you and me. "I in them, Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and has loved them as Thou hast loved me." The first time I ever saw that, I had just only a few days before enrolled in Oral Roberts University. I'd never read that in my life. I'd never seen anything like that. When I found it, I had just a few days before just found out the power of agreement. And I said, Jesus prayed this prayer. I'm going through here. I'm going to set myself in agreement with everything He prayed. And I found that 20th verse, that He prayed for me, and I knew He prayed in faith, so I'm going to agree with it. And I got going down through there, and I got to choking on some of the things that He said. And I came down to that one. What? You mean to tell me that God loves me as much as He does Jesus? I said it out loud. I said, if this was not written in red, I couldn't believe this. I didn't know anything about new creature. I'd never heard that. I was just an old sinner saved by grace. I'd heard that a lot. I was raised in a Baptist church, and everybody said that. That sound all right to me. I didn't know the difference. But I got to looking at that. He said that. The Son of the Living God said that. I can't stand here and say that that's not true for me. I have to agree with that because Jesus, my Savior, said that out of His own mouth, and He was praying when He said it. And I was shaking all over. I was really afraid to say it. I didn't know anything about faith at that time. Oh, a little. Not much. I was afraid to say that. And I'm walking around my little room there, but I had the book right up here with me. And I said, well, here goes. I'm going to say it. I want to thank You, Father. Oh, my goodness. I want to thank you. Oh. God loves me just as much as he loved Jesus. And I'm telling you, I was trembling. But oh, my spirit rose up on the inside of me and took a big, long drink of that. I'm telling you, it thrilled me on the inside. And I just kept saying it. I just kept walking around that room. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves me. Stupid, ignorant, dumb me. God loves me. And I found out later I wasn't stupid. I got the mind of Christ. But I didn't know anything about the new birth. I didn't know I was a new creature. And I just kept saying it. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves me. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, before that day was over with, it got to me. It got to me. I got so thrilled, I didn't want to say anything else. God loves Kenneth. And man, of course, the next thing I did, I come running in there to Gloria. I said, Gloria, look at this. God loves us. She said, ooh. It was so real and so good. But you need to do that. You need to hear yourself say it. And you need to put your eyes on that, and you say it because Jesus prayed it, not because you feel one way or another. And you choose to believe it. Now, I want to talk to you about that part of it there just for a moment. You believe it in your heart, and you say it with your mouth. We know that, Mark 11, 23 and 24. While I'm talking about this, look at the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. You're right there close. This was a while, just a short time, before, well, sometime before we went to Tulsa and enrolled at ORU. So, It was just absolutely strictly the Lord that led me this day to do what I did. I had every symptom of the flu in my body. I mean, my hair hurt. I mean, I'm hurting all over. I drove Gloria to the cleaners, and I'm sitting out there in front while she went into the cleaners to get done whatever she was doing. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, I believe I'm going to let her drive home. I'm so sick. I just don't believe I'm going to be able to drive. And my Bible was laying there in the seat next to me, and I had opened it up, 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm telling you, I knew so little about this. I picked it up. Now, the Spirit of the Lord was leading me here, because at this time, I had no teaching at all from this standpoint. I had a little, but not like what we're talking about now. And I just said it out loud. I just propped the Bible up there on the steering wheel, and I put my finger on that verse of Scripture. I picked that Bible up and held it up and put my finger on 1 Peter 2:24. I said out loud, I read it, himself bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. I said out loud, Lord, I choose to believe this. Well, I certainly wouldn't say it because I felt healed. I felt everything but healed. But I said, I choose to believe this. Read it again. I choose to believe this. About that time, Gloria walked in. By the time she got in the car, I was feeling well enough to drive. I mean, it had been probably, maybe 10 minutes at the most. And like I said, I mean, you know, I'm a scripturally illiterate, James. I didn't know nothing about what I'm doing here. But I was being led by the Spirit of God. And I said, again, I choose to believe that. And I told that to Gloria, and I said, Gloria, I choose to believe that. She said, okay. I drove us home. By the time I got home, I'm feeling pretty good. And I thought, you know, I believe I can eat a little supper here. And I went to bed. I wasn't 100%, but I woke up the next morning, and I'm telling you, every symptom was gone. Now, what happened? I chose to believe that whether I felt like it or not. Amen. And that is the foundation that all faith rests upon. Let every man be a liar, but God is truth. Amen. What he said in that book is the truth. Amen. Well, how can I say I'm healed when it's obvious I'm sick? Obvious to whom? Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, it's, you know, look at this. Now, if I was to say I was healed, I'd be lying about it. It's not true. That's not true. I've got this thing right here. No, you're the one lying. No, I'm not lying. Yeah, you're lying. You are lying. Because what's on your arm is not truth. It's a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is 1 Peter 2:24. The truth is Isaiah 53. That's the truth about that. And if you choose to believe the truth will change that fact. Now, it becomes more and more powerful and more powerful the more you become aware that you're believing love. See, you start to say, I was believing God. No. You're believing God. You're believing love. And for you to have the idea that God wants you to keep that thing on your arm another 6 months is a lie from hell. Don't you ever even let yourself think about that. I want to ask you one question. Did Jesus ever tell anybody, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or did any of the apostles ever tell anybody in the book of Acts or the rest of the New Testament, now you're going to have to keep this for another little while? No. It is not in there. And if it was the will of God, there would be an example of it in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or Acts. And if it isn't in there, it isn't in there. Amen. So don't make that up. It's a lot harder to make that up if you're saying, love wanted me to stay sick for a while. You can say God and, man, you know, maybe kind of be callous to it. But you get to start saying, love wants me sick. That ain't going to work. This is the reason it's so important to renew your thinking, renew your mind to the fact that God is love and love is God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now, just a little bit more here. I told you to look in the 13th chapter of John. Say, God loves me. I believe it in my heart. And I say it with my mouth. God loved me, gave himself for me. God loves Kenneth. Hallelujah. John 13, 23. I tell you, I love this. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now I want you to notice what John is doing here. He's not bragging on himself. John was there when Jesus preached Mark 11, 23 and 24. He was there. He was the only one that didn't run out on Jesus. Something going on here. He outlived all the rest of them. The apostle of love. They tried more than once to kill him. The records show that they boiled him in oil. What they would do, they'd put somebody in a boiling cauldron and then with a grappling hook reach in there and just pull their bones out and all the flesh just fall off of the bones. Those were really nice people back in those days. You know? This was a long time before political correctness. And it wasn't a figure of speech when they said they're going to boil you in oil. And they did that with John and put the hook down in there and he came out whole. Well, see, that's the same miracle as the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. It is the same. Same thing. You couldn't get to him. Now, I want you to notice what the man is doing now. There was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He was talking about the one that would betray him. Now get the picture. There was leaning on Jesus' bosom. The one that Jesus loved. He had faith that Jesus loved him. This is the same man that wrote, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us." He started this before Jesus ever went to the cross. He believed that. He believed that he loved him. Now, get the picture. Peter didn't come up to Jesus and say, "Sir, who is it?" He was afraid of him. So where did he go? He went to John and said, "Ask him. Ask him. Ask. Come on, man, ask him who it is." John said, "You ask. I ain't going to ask him. You his favorite." And John said, "Yeah, that's me. You got that right." Now, see, all the time, He's not bragging on himself. He's confessing it with his mouth. I'm the one that Jesus loves. He loves me. He had known and believed the love. Can you see that? There was an intimacy there. And Jesus answered him. All right. Now then, let's go over to the 19th chapter. And I want you to look at the 26th verse. 19, 26, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." Amen. I'm by the Spirit of God, I'm endeavoring to impress on you and me the importance of renewing our mind that God is love and He loves me. Now, if there is some reason you're not receiving, it is certainly not His fault. Because He has done everything there is to be done about you receiving. He can't miss it. And it's certainly not because He doesn't want you to have it. If He didn't want you to have it, then He murdered Jesus. There ain't no way, brother. That's a scriptural impossibility. That God didn't want you to have something. Only thing He doesn't want you to have is cancer. Sickness, disease, weakness, pain. He bore all that so you don't have to have it. Well, then how come I don't have it? You just told me. Why? Because you don't know. I don't know. I know you don't know. Why don't I not know? Because you ain't spending no time in the Word of God. You got other things to do. Well, after all, you got to have a life. Really, that's what you call what you're doing is living? Going from paycheck to paycheck? If you want things to work, then go to the Bible.
Amen.
Don't you be going around saying Brother Copeland said or Brother Savelle said, or Brother Duplantis said, or Brother Moore said. No, don't be doing that. You stay in the Word of God until you said the Bible said. You stay there till you know. Till you don't you believe it because I said it. Don't put me in that kind of a position. Amen. No. You get in that book and you stay there and you ask God to help you understand it. Don't be saying, I don't ever read the book of Revelation because I can't understand any of it. Well, I can tell you never have read it. Because it says, blessed are they that read this book. It didn't say, blessed are they that understand it. It said, blessed are they that read it. And if you don't do anything else, just read that. I'm blessed. And I'm going to read this thing again. Amen. You'll be amazed at how it will begin to unfold to you. And you get excited about it and thrilled about it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're not always looking for somebody else to explain it to you. That's wonderful. Teachers are fine and great and wonderful. That's good. I mean, that's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. But get in there for yourself. God wrote that book to you. It's got your name on it. It is God speaking to you. Say it. The Bible is God
who is love
speaking to me,
telling me
how much He loves me. Oh, glory, 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 glory.
When I was a little kid growing up in the Copeland House and Eagle Mountain International Church, I used to wonder to myself sometimes, why do we say things out loud all the time? Why does Papa always say this after me, or Mom and Dad say this after me? And after years and years and years of saying this after them, you realize it's important to say what you believe. It's important to put God's word in your mouth. For example, why is it important to say that God loves me as much as He loves Jesus? Well, it's because when you declare that out loud, it requires you to engage your mind, to engage your will, and when you add faith to it, and that is so key, when you add faith to it, that requires believing it with your heart. So it's in your heart, coming out of your mouth, and it activates the power of agreement within yourself, between your soul and your spirit, you coming into agreement with God and His Word and what He said about you. And it's one thing to hear somebody tell you that God loves you, But it's something else to meditate on it and to say it out loud to yourself until that truth and revelation really begins to sink in and your mind becomes renewed, praise God, with this marvelous revelation of how much you are loved. Why is all this important? Because Jesus wants to reveal and demonstrate His love for you. And that's part of the reason we're offering this CD to you called Welcome to the Love Show. This is something I preached. My wife and I went with our team to Manchester, England, and did a series of services there. And the Lord really spoke through us then, and we brought it home, made it into this CD, and I want you to have it. Welcome to the Love Show. So if you want this, all you need to do is call KCM or visit us online, kcm.org. Ask for your free copy. We're going to get it out to you, and you're going to be blessed and happy you did. Now listen, today, something unique, it's offering day. Right here on the last day of 2017, you and I are going to take an opportunity to come into agreement as partners, come into agreement as fellow believers. I know perhaps you've been standing all year long in faith and expectation for God to do some awesome things in your family, your ministry, your finance, and we are going to believe in Him and in His Word all the way to the end. Let me read this to you out of the book of Galatians chapter 6, a few verses here. Verse 6 says, "Let him who has taught the Word of God share or respond in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't quit. Maybe it was one of the hardest years you've ever lived, but I'm going to tell you something. We don't quit. As faith people, as members of the household of faith, which is what the very next verse says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, I mentioned to you what it's like growing up in this house, but I'll say it to you again. In this house, we don't quit. In this house of faith, we don't grow weary in well-doing. So if you're sowing today and the Lord's got it on your heart to partner with this ministry, many of you are already partners, some of you not yet partners, but I want to tell you something. If God's got it on your heart, it's because there's harvest on the other side of that. So sow your seed today, and we are believing with you. This ministry stands in agreement with you for a very, very, very blessed new year. Father, I bless your people today in Jesus' name. We receive their seed sown and we call them blessed, increased more and more, them and their children. Hey, thanks for watching the broadcast today. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.